You know, that's just one area in our world, 900 million people. And to get a little perspective about it, what do we have in America? About 325 million, so almost three times as many people as we have in America, 900 million of them. Less than 1% of them have even a knowledge of Christ, know Christ personally, and a number more of them, the majority of them, have never even heard or had a real kind of, they might have heard Jesus just spoken or, hey, there's a religion that's different than ours, but they actually don't know who Jesus is. They haven't been told what this message really is about. Well, today is Mission Sunday, and we were supposed to have a guest speaker come. So last night, during all of the storms, flights got canceled and all kinds of things. And so the president of All Star Missions, Peggy Nunley, was going to come and be with us, but she wasn't able to come today. So I learned at about 6 o'clock on the way home from a baseball game yesterday that I was going to be doing this right now, this moment. So pray for me, all right? So all the studying that I've done, you know, in the last, you know, evening. When we talk about missions, I always want to talk about our mission, and it's a pretty simple thing. Our mission is simply to bring people to Christ, to bring people back home to Christ. And the way that we do this strategically, we call it know, grow, serve, and go. That we, first of all, know Christ. In fact, without Jesus, without the Holy Spirit, without the presence of God, none of this matters. It's irrelevant. It's stupid. It doesn't matter at all. We can set up all that we want. We can work all that we want. We can sing all the songs that we want. But if this is not a church that Jesus wants to go to, none of this matters, right? All right. So we want to know Christ. We want to know Him. We want to know Him not religiously, but relationally. We know Him as our Savior, but we know Him as our Lord, and we worship Him, and we honor Him, and every Sunday we come together to do that and to make His praises known. And when His praises are known, people that don't know Him can see who He is and see what He is about, and they can hear the gospel message, and we want them to hear that, and we want this to be the hardest place on earth for anybody to get to hell from. Know Christ, and then to grow in Christ. And we invite people to come as they are. You can come as you are. It can be any religion. You can be any denomination. You can even be weird like me, but you can come. But we say, come as you are. Don't stay as you are. In fact, if you've been a believer for 10 seconds, or you've been a believer for 100 years, each one of us needs to grow. We all have places in our hearts that we need to surrender over to Christ and give over to Him a little bit more. We have places in our lives that we need to trust Jesus more. We need to put more faith in Him. We need to surrender it over to Him. That's what spiritual maturity really is. Yeah, we have Bible studies. Yeah, we preach sermons. Yeah, we learn a whole lot of things, and we want you to, and we provide all of those things, but they are to point you to this relationship with Christ and to grow in Him and to know Him and to know Him more and more and more. We come as we are, but we don't stay as we are. We also serve. Know, grow, serve, and go. We're serving. Our hands and our feet are Jesus with skin on in this world, and we say it like this. Every member is a minister. You can go to Vista Print, and I'll give you the logo for the church. And you can say, me, whatever your name is. Say your name. Brian. Oh, that's a beautiful name. It's a beautiful name. You can put your name right on the business card, and you can say, Ryan Kimball, minister, Church by the Fort. You can put it on your Facebook page. I don't care. We ain't paying you. But you can put it on there, okay? And you can print your own cards at your own expense too. But you can do it. Minister, that's what you are. You are an ambassador of Christ in this place. What the church is really called, this word ekklesia, ek meaning out of, klesia, I don't know, some Greek thing. But it's called out is what it means, to be called away, to be called out. And what would happen, it's actually not a church term, or a Christian term, or even a religious term. It was a Roman term. And what would happen is the Roman government would take people and they would send them to colonize in another place. And they would show all of the people around who weren't Romans before, they were taking over in a hostile way, what Roman life was all about. You are here and you are not a resident of earth. If you're a follower of Christ, and understand, I'm talking primarily to believers today. We talk to all different kinds of peoples, but it's Mission Sunday, so we're talking to you believers primarily today. If you're a believer, you are an ambassador. So now you look differently at your world. You look differently at your work. You look differently even as at your family. You are not a resident here. You're at 101 heaven, whatever it is, 101 where God is, his house, whatever his address, that's where your residency really is. You're a foreigner here. So you're called out to be an ambassador in this place. And even go further, you're an ambassador where you work. And God has placed you, even with the people that you work with, that drive you crazy, that drive you nuts, you want to smack them twice on Sunday, you know? These people are the people that are within your sphere of influence. They're the people you're the ministers to. You're the pastor to. You're the missionary and evangelist to. These are your people that you are drawing toward Christ, that you are showing the way of Christ. Now, if you're cussing every other minute and you're flipping them off, guess what? They ain't seeing Jesus, right? So let's know and grow first. Then we can serve and we can see people who are being ministered to. This is your place of service. And then finally, we go and we put it like this. We will cross an ocean of Legos barefooted to see one person become a follower of Jesus. An ocean of Legos, guys. We will do whatever it takes, short of sinning ourselves, to see people come to Christ. Now, we're not a church of 1,000. We're not even a church of 200 yet. We're not a church of 10,000. But I can promise you, 100 people engaged in what Christ is about and engaged in his mission, I guarantee you, is a whole lot better than 10,000 people sitting on their butts in a pew somewhere. We say it like this. A church's success is not determined by its seating capacity, but by its sending capacity. Where are we going? Who are we going to? This afternoon, our group from Tucson, we're going to have tacos because this is Texas and that's what we do. We do tacos. So we eat tacos. We're talking about how to go and serve some people in Tucson. We've got a couple of students, and the students are the ones that lead out on this, that are going to Guatemala this summer, and they're going to use their hands and feet for Christ. We've got another one going to Panama. We've got people ready to go to Mexico in Christmas. We are going, but we got to go more because people need to know Christ. 900 million people. And I think one of the reasons we don't go, first of all, we kind of have a lack of self-confidence, and you need to get over that. You and Jesus need to have a talk about it and get over it. You're a child of God. You have all authority in heaven and on earth. You just need to take your place and get over it, all right? You got that? I don't have to preach a whole sermon on that. Just get over it. You are God's child. Go take authority. Go be who you are. But another reason that we don't seem to go is because I don't think we really believe what we say we believe. We say that we believe that Jesus is God's son. We say that we believe that Christ came and he died and he rose again and he is at the right hand of the Father and he reigns. And we say that, as Jesus said, he's the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes to the Father except through him. And through only God's Son, because it's God. I mean, this is Creator God. It's not like he threw out a bunch of religions and said, hey, pick one. It's not cafeteria. This ain't Dagum Lubies. All right? He said, this is my Son. Follow him, and you can come to me. It's not being narrow-minded, it's actually providing a way that wasn't there. This is my son. Follow him. Be his. But I don't think we really believe it. We've allowed the world to push into us so much. We say, oh, well, just be sincere. Just be good. We've got all kinds of mentalities about what it really is. And the Bible is very clear. There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we can be saved. It's Jesus. That's in the Bible. I just quoted it. And it was out of the King James. Wasn't that fancy? Yeah. This is Jesus. Narrow-minded, exclusive, offensive, whatever it is, this is the way to God. And if you don't come to God through Christ, you live eternally as you live now without him. I saw a bumper sticker yesterday. I think somebody sent it to me. This is for all of you people who are trying to push God out of everything. Don't worry, he's not in hell either. And it's kind of a harsh way to put it. But here's the truth, guys. Listen, I'm not enjoying it. But if you live the way that you live without God, without Christ, he is not going to make you follow him after you die and force you to go to heaven to be with him. This is what Scripture tells us. He's not going to push you to do that. One reason we don't go is because we don't believe that. And I can tell you, because of the tension in the room, we really, really don't. Hell is real, and forever is a long, long, long time. And the worst part of hell is not, I don't even know what it looks like. I don't know. I don't want to go there. I don't want to find out. I'm not going. But I don't know if it's hot, I don't know if it's cold, I don't know if it's everything. But the Bible describes it as a place of outer darkness and where the worm doesn't die, and it does have fire and all kinds of imagery going on. But the worst part of all of hell is just what I mentioned. God isn't there. God's people aren't there. God's presence isn't there. There's nothing restraining evil there. It is away from God. And God designed each of us to know him, to love him, and to be known and loved by him. You were created by God and for God. And until you figure that out, nothing is going to make sense. And this is the message we have for people. Not, hey, you're going to hell. But there is a way to know your Creator. There is a way to know your purpose. And here's the scripture for the day. It's in John 20. I'm going to read it to you. This is one of the last things that Jesus said. And you know, the last thing you say, those are the most important things. When a coach is in a huddle, the last thing he says is the most important thing. Like, we don't have any timeouts, Chris Webber. Don't call one. That kind of thing. Or, don't foul. Don't foul. Don't foul. And then they go and they foul. You know, it just frustrates a coach. That's why they have no hair. All right. But the last thing you say, those last things you say, those are the important things that we want to remember. So on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Shalom, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Jesus is alive. This is cool. It all worked out. And then Jesus said, Shalom, peace be with you. Shalom, y'all. Dave has a t-shirt that says that. Shalom, y'all. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. So we go in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what I want you to capture. This is really the only point. As the Father sent me, that's how I send you. So you have to ask the obvious question. When you go to Scripture, you look and you see what the Jesus or whoever speaking was saying to them. And then you start to ask questions like, as the Father sent me, so how, that's how I'm sending you. You have to ask the question, how did the Father send him? How did the Father send Jesus? Jesus, Son of God, in heaven, all the rights of heaven, all the worship of all the armies of heaven upon him. And he came as a human being, limiting himself to a corporal body, a human body, coming, surrendering all of these rights and abilities. No more walking through walls and going through everything. He's got to go on foot everywhere they go. And even though the disciples were in one accord, they didn't have a Honda back then. He had to walk everywhere he went. They were all over the place. And he went and he taught. And he ultimately, he died a real human death for your sins and mine. And he rose again from the dead. How is the Father sending Jesus? Notice what Jesus did. Jesus in heaven came to us. He did not wait for somebody to ask for him to come. He did not wait for someone to say, God, we really need you. In fact, he went to people that didn't even know they needed what he had to offer. And he came and he sacrificed himself. You see how it works? Are you catching it? As the Father sent me, that's how I'm sending you. Now, we ain't in heaven. We're not dropping down to earth. But we go to them. We sacrifice to go to them. We speak to them. And whether it's going literally across the map, or it's literally going across the street and speaking, or it's in a conversation that you're having with a friend, and you initiate. We're not going to sit around and wait for somebody to bring Jesus up to us before we share our Savior with them. We go to them. Do you understand what I'm saying here? We are sent. We are sent as the Father sent me, Jesus. I am sending you, he said. I am sending you. So we drive 16 hours to Tucson. So we fly hours to Guatemala. So we fly hours to India. Whoever needs to hear this word of God, this message, this good news, we will cross a Lego, an ocean full of Legos, barefooted to see one person become a follower of Christ. We go. That's what we do. Because as the Father sent me, that's how I'm sending you. And we go to them. No, grow, serve, and by all means, go. Our arrows are pointed outward. And we always have our eyes and our hearts looking for opportunities, looking for people without Christ. I remember Jonah got swallowed by a fish, whale, or whatever kind of mammal creature in the sea. He got swallowed up and survived for 3 days. And then he got puked up on the beach. Now, it said it spewed him out of his mouth, but the Hebrew is like vomited that varmint up. That's literally what it says in the Hebrew. Vomited that varmint. I mean, really, it's what it says. Not really, but in my version it is. He vomited him up on the beach. Why? Because he didn't want to go to people that he didn't like. He didn't want to go to people who didn't deserve God's love in his mind. And yet, God had his love pushed out toward them. In fact, Jesus is at the end here again, and he says, you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to be witnesses in Jerusalem. It was like, yeah, Jerusalem. We're going to win Jerusalem for Jesus. Yeah, those are people like us. Those are people like me. That's my town. That's my place. Yeah. And Judea. All right. I like me some Texas. We can go around to some Judea. Samaria. Hold on. Those people aren't like me. They're not far, but their ideas of God are kind of squirrely. And they don't look like me. In fact, way back when, my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa kind of left and he left these other people, and his friends started marrying the squirrely people that were still around that didn't worship God, and then they had kids, and woo, they're different. And I'm going to go to them. And Jesus said, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. I'm like, okay. You already talked to one of their women. And, you know, first of all, she was shacking up with a guy. And you said that, she said that she had five husbands. And you said, sure enough, you've had five husbands. And the guy you're shacking up with isn't your husband. I mean, that was the Samaritan woman. And then there was one guy that kind of helped a guy that was hurt too. So he was cool. But these Samaritans, and then he said, the uttermost part of the earth. Now I want you to think about this. The uttermost part of the earth is wherever you're not, way far off. Now for Jesus and the disciples, you know where the uttermost parts of the earth were? You're standing or sitting in them. Now there weren't movie theater seats at the time, but you're sitting in the uttermost parts of the earth for Jesus. This is about as uttermost as you can get. I mean, we're just 5 miles inside the Great Commission for these disciples. We're right there. The uttermost part of the earth. But the uttermost part of the earth to us is wherever is distant. Did you realize this Great Commission? Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every nation, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and look it, I'm with you, even until the end of the age. Do you realize that if we were the only church on the planet, Jesus still said it, and we've still got to fulfill that? Wherever you are, the uttermost parts of the earth, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and you're like, that's overwhelming. I can't do it on my own. Of course you can't. That's what we are, together. We go together. We go to places that are far away. We go to places that are close. And I remember this thing about Nineveh. It was like 120,000 people. At the end of it, Jonah was mad, and he was sitting under a tree, and it was his shade, and then it died, and then he was mad. I mean, he was ticked off. The tree died. And God actually had a direct conversation with him. He says, Jonah, were you upset about the tree? And you're not even upset about the 120,000 people that don't know their right hand from their left. They don't have a clue about me. And you're upset about your shade tree. And that kind of hit me when I read that again last night, because I'm like, you know what? I'm like that. I'm so overwhelmed with my life. And by the way, that's the enemy, Satan, the jerk strategy. To get you so focused on your life. To get you so overwhelmed with the stuff that you're going through that you can't see your hiney from a hole in the ground or the people that don't know Jesus around you. I made that up. I kind of like that. Let's tweet that sometime. We get so overwhelmed with our emotions and our stuff and our stresses and our difficulties and this life on earth, and we're not even residents here. And I'm not minimizing our issues. We've got them. But we get so microcosmically focused on them, we can't see the cosmic need for people to know Christ. And our hearts can't even go out to them because we're focused inward. That's why we say we always keep our arrows pointed out. We look outward because we tend to look inward. So we go. We go to places like Killeen with 150,000 people in them and growing. And some people are like, you know, we're going to go start a new church in Killeen this coming year. What about Cove? What about Copper's Cove? Pastor, don't you care about Copper's Cove? And I haven't heard anybody say it to my face, but I've kind of heard it. But guys, let me be mean for a minute. You think I don't care about Copper's Cove? You don't think I moved my family from Alabama? We liked Alabama. Believe it or not, there are more than cows there and crazy people. We moved across the nation. I raised money and begged people for money so that we could see this church start. I bled and sweat and cried and felt like I was about to die and wasn't sure this was all going to happen ever at any point. You think I don't care about Copperas Cove? I don't think there's anybody in the room that has given more to see people come to Jesus in Copperas Cove than me. I'm just saying. Let me just be ornery. I care about Copperas Cove. I still cry over Copperas Cove. But I'm not going to sit under the fig tree and be mad at God because the fig tree died when there's 150,000 people in Killeen and we're sitting here and we can do something about it because it's really next to our backyard. You hear what I'm saying? And why? Because we go. That's what we do. So yeah, we go to Seattle. Yeah, we go to Tucson. Yeah, we go to Guatemala. We go to Panama. We're going to India. We're going to Uganda. We go everywhere, and we go to Killeen, even though they're kind of like Samaritans to some people. All right? We go. We send. This is what else we do. I'm about to finish up here because, you know, whenever I don't study well, I run over. Acts 13. Then the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, who was a guy that had Jesus killed, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." Now Barnabas and Saul were in the church there. They were serving the church. They were doing good things in the church. And God said, "Get me two of your best and send them out. Give me two of your best leaders and send them out. We need them, Lord." They didn't argue like that. They just said, "All right, set them aside." So after they fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them, sent them off, sent them away. We take our best and we send them out. Why do we do that? Because we want to send the best out to share Jesus. And then what do we do here? We already have what we have here to develop new leaders, to develop people into leaders that are here right now that will accept the mantle and step forward and take their place in the kingdom of God too. You see how it works? So we grow, we know, we grow, and we serve. And as we go, we send people out and we continue to know and grow here. So what do we do? Some people are, I want you to pray a dangerous prayer. I'm going to ask you to pray a dangerous prayer. Lord, why wouldn't I go? Some people are like, "I ain't praying that prayer. You fool." Lord, why wouldn't I be sent? Lord, why shouldn't I go? Because we often go, "Lord, why would I go? Lord, if you throw a billboard out on 190 and slap me on the head and strike me with lightning, I will go." We've already been told to go. The question is not should we go, it's why wouldn't we? And there are good reasons why we wouldn't sometimes. And God says, "No, I want you here. But why wouldn't I go? Are you ready to go?" There's a simple thing to do as it determines going. One is you go. The other is you pray. And all of us pray. The going people, the sent people pray. And the people that aren't going or aren't sent pray. And we're not all sent everywhere. We don't all go to every place. Sometimes we're called to different places. So sometimes we stay where we are and we pray and we send those out with blessings like they did to Barnabas or with Barnabas and Paul. We send. We push. You go. We're behind you. William Carey, who went to India, is the second largest number of Baptists in the world. And I just know the Baptist kind of thing because that's what I grew up. The second largest number of Baptists in the world is in India, behind the United States. And there are less than 0.5% of that population that is Baptist. That just tells you the number of people. 900 million, we just featured kind of the Asia Pacific islands. But all of these people, blinded, they don't know the right hand from their left. They don't know. So we send people and we pray as they go. And as William Carey went, he said, I will go if you'll hold the rope. If you'll hold the rope. And whenever anybody goes, whether it's Guatemala or Panama or Tucson or wherever we go, it's your job, guys, with all that you have and every bit of fervor and passion that you have in your soul to hold the rope, to pray as they go, to pray behind them. So you pray and you go, and if you can't go, you give. I don't know if you've realized this, but it costs money to go different places. The airlines don't take Jesus Monopoly money. Well, I'm going to go share people with people. Okay, Southwest, they're all happy to just let you fly free. It doesn't. Your bags can, but you ain't, right? There's money. Vance Havner was once asked, how much money, how much ministry can you do for a dollar? They were trying to get him to say, we can leverage our resources. And he surprised him. He turned around and he said, about a dollar's worth. Because that's how much it costs. It does take money. And guess what? One guy said, I have great news for you. We have all the money that we need for our missions projects. I have tough news for you. All of the money that we need for the missions projects, we have, and it's in your wallet today. That's not a message you want to hear. But we do. And sometimes people think, what can I do? But yeah, not eating a crappy McDonald's Happy Meal once a day or however often, not eating out as much. I love to eat out, so that's my. I'm confessing here. We can give toward something else or someone else that can go. We can get behind somebody else. But you pray and you give. And why wouldn't you go? Why wouldn't you go? And that's simply it. I want you to pray that prayer. Why wouldn't you go across the street and initiate that conversation? Why wouldn't you go with someone that you're working with and begin to encourage them verbally, initiating a conversation that helps them to see Jesus? Why wouldn't you go to Killeen? Why wouldn't you go to Panama or Guatemala or India or Seattle? Why wouldn't you go? And if God has a good reason to keep you from there, that's fine. But I think more of us should go than think we should. And if you can't go, hold the rope by praying and giving. Listen, guys, we're not a huge church. I don't care for a huge church. I do want more people to come to know Christ. And yeah, I get kind of ticked off when people say, our little church. It ticks me off no end. Just don't say it in front of me. It just is a burr under my saddle. Because I don't want us to be a small church. We're not here for each other only. We are here for people who aren't here. We want them to come and experience this. And if we put it in a bottle and we cap it up, guess what happens? You've all done that with MREs and Coke bottles, right? What happens to it? Explodes. And it's kind of fun, but it's not funny to watch in a church. If we don't go, if we don't exhale, if we don't exercise our faith outwardly, we're going to implode. In fact, going helps our community together, because without it, we lack purpose, a major purpose of what we're here for. We are here in a lot of ways for people who aren't. So yeah, let's bring people in. But I'm not concerned about our numbers for numbers' sake. Who cares? Who gives a flying flip? But I do want us engaged together. Our success is not determined by our seating capacity. It's determined by our sending capacity. Who are we sending? Who are we going? Who are we praying for this week who's ready to go? Who is willing to step out and say, Lord, I will go? And who is willing to say, guess what, guys? We got people ready to go to Tucson that literally do not have the funds to do it today. We got people going to Panama. Now, the Guatemala and Panama people, one of them still doesn't have everything that she needs. That can't be. We've got to be able to send people everywhere. And yeah, we need to manage our money, and we need to sacrifice ourselves so that we can go and that kind of thing. But listen, some people are willing, and just they're limited in what they can do. And as a church, we have got to do everything we can. Praying, giving, going, crossing over an ocean full of Legos barefooted just so we can see one person come to Jesus. Because you know what? In comparison to what Jesus did for us, coming down from heaven, coming to be among us, living his life, showing us who God is, showing us who the Father is, and ultimately dying for our sins innocently, and then rising again from the dead, compared to him, we can give nothing, nothing at all. But as the Father sent him, that's how he is sending you and me. Aren't you glad Mission Sunday is once a year? This is what we need to do. This is why we're here. We're not going to sit around and talk about heaven and when we go for the rest of our lives while the world and its people fall faster and deeper to a living death below. We're not going to do it. And if you won't go, I'm going, and I hope you still pay my salary so while I'm gone. But I have a hankering notion. That's how we say it in Arkansas. I have a hankering notion that God is working in each of you, even in this moment. And you're with me. And you're with Jesus. And as the Father sent him, you're ready to be sent. And if you can't go, you're ready to send and pray and give and do whatever it takes, short of sinning, to see one more person come to Christ, because Jesus thought enough of you and he thought enough of me to do that and a lot more for us to come to know him. Let's do this. Let's pray. And I'm going to invite you to simply pray that prayer. Lord, why shouldn't I go? And if you have good reason not to go, how can I give? How can I pray? And I'm going to ask you as a church to commit yourself to this. To know Christ, grow in Christ, serve Christ. But today, not fail to go in Christ. And not fail to send people to go for Christ. We may not have huge seating capacity. We can always get a bigger building. But our sending capacity better explode, because that's why we're here. I'm going to invite you to pray with me. Dear Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus. And as you sent him, you're sending us, Jesus, and we want to go. And we want to offer ourselves today, whether it's to the prison, whether it's to Killeen or Guatemala or Panama or India or across the street or with our coworker, wherever it is, we are ready. We are ready to be sent. We are ready to go. And we go with a little bit of trepidation, but we remind ourselves, you said the Holy Spirit goes with us. And this body of people who are your followers are sending us. And while we have these conversations one-on-one, we just feel completely alone, remind us that we have an army of people praying, holding the rope, sending us, with us, pulling for us, believing in us and believing in you. And whatever it takes, Lord, make this the hardest place on earth for people to go to hell from. Bring people to us that need you, and we will give all that we have to give so that they can come to know you until we die. That's our goal. See how many people we can take to heaven with us before we die. See how many churches we can start of communities of witness for you before we go to be with you. And we ask for your presence, because without it, none of it matters. And we go with you, and we go where you lead, and we go boldly, and we go in your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.